Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers.
We see you, Lord, at the Last Supper, wanting to give that last will and testament to the apostles, and getting down from the table, you wrap a towel around your waist. You take a jug of water and you begin to wash the feet of those apostles. Imagine our Lord doing the same for ourselves. Imagine the Pope coming along and washing your feet. The natural reaction of any one of us is to say, well, look, I'm not worthy for this. And that's how Peter responded. And yet, Lord, you said to him, you won't have communion with me unless you allow me to do this. And having done so, having washed their feet, you say to them, you call me your Lord and your Master, and you're right, I am. But if I've done this for you, who are your Lord and Master, how much more you ought to do this for the others? And even though you gave them, Lord, that example, which was so graphic, we find them in that same Last Supper arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest. Incredible. Now, always, always having a go at each other like that. Even though on many occasions, Lord, you spoke to them about that need to serve. And for ourselves too, we are constantly being tempted by pride, worrying what people think about us, making comparisons, dwelling on our own selves, being touchy. And again, Lord, you ask us to be humble, to trust in God, not to worry. And though for a short time we are moved, we think about that, Lord, but then we go back to our old ways. If we think a lot about ourselves, and truth be told, we probably do, always thinking in ourselves, at the very least, we will sin through omission in our service of souls. Because we won't be on the ball as regards their needs. We won't have truly understood people because we have thought about them, prayed for them, realized what they like, what they don't like. When you really know somebody, you know straight away how they will respond, what their habits are like. If you don't know someone, if you live in official charity, you go, and would you like sugar with that? Some people, for instance, they never drink tea or coffee. We always find ourselves saying, and how would you like your coffee? I've told you 50 times, I actually don't drink the stuff. Oh, yeah. And the next time, we forget. That's the thing, that's knowing people, knowing them. And we shouldn't consent to those thoughts, those images, those recollections that make us the center of our attention, or at least the center of other people's attention. That those temptations come, sure, but not to spend our time doing that. And that it often happens to us when we begin to brood. Sure, sometimes maybe it's, you're there having a sort of a daydream where you're receiving the Nobel Prize or you're appearing on the Women's Weekly or whatever it might be. But more often than not, it's about brooding over our personal problems. And it's hard not to brood. If you have a temptation to an impure thought, at least you realize, oh, hang on a second, this is very bad. This is coming here. You know it. You can see it. But when you brood about past hurts, it's very difficult to admit its existence. You're too caught up in the whole, why did they do this and how come the other? If we were able to manage to forget about ourselves even a little, it would be a tremendous gift given to us, Lord, by you. If we were really giving of ourselves, not just of things that we have, but of our very selves, of our time, of our thought, we would reach the end of the day, like San Jose Maria Escrivá, be able to say in our examination of conscience at the end of the day, Lord, look, here I am, your poor, unworthy servant. I've only done what I was supposed to do. What a wonderful thing to be able to say. Look, I haven't thought about myself today. I've been attending to the needs of others. I'm too busy with that to dwell on my personal problems. If we are left alone with ourselves for a long period of time, and we only think about ourselves, we will inevitably grow sad because there's always so much wrong with us. We all have defects. The thing is, if we're humble, it won't worry us. If we're humble, what will surprise us is not that we get things wrong, but rather we got things right. And we will remember that all that we have has been received, Lord, from you. St. Paul says, what have I that I have not received from the Lord? And more than that, if I have done things well, all the more responsibility. Because with the talents that you have given me, Lord, I need to trade with them. I remember one occasion, Cardinal Ratzinger, as he then was, went to the University of Navarre. It's in Pamplona. It's a great university. I have to say, I was really, really impressed with the campus there. Things are done so well. And it seems that, at the end of his trip, he was actually pretty happy with that university. And the people there, naturally enough, were very chuffed. The cardinal liked the university, and, he's a great intellectual, and doing a few things right here. And they went and they told the prelate of Opus Dei about it. And, they said, Cardinal Ratzinger was here, and he liked it. But the prelate wasn't impressed by that. He just said straight away, well, all the more responsibility then for you to live up to those expectations. Oh, gee. Wow. I remember telling the prelate of Opus Dei myself, how impressed I was with the University of Navarre. And straight away he said, well, look, you'll have one in New Zealand. I was going, oh, gee. Okay. We'll see. I'll have to pray for that. But that's the thing. That's the thing. To focus on the good. And it doesn't really matter who is doing the good. I don't have to make comparisons. I don't have to say, am I doing this? Do I have a finger in every pie? If other people are doing good things, we rejoice in that. Because all that we want, Lord, is you. We want to be close to you. And then, if we are called to be in the spotlight, okay, with our talents, we're in the spotlight. If we're called to be forgotten, parked on one side, well, then we're parked on one side, so long as the good is being done. One man sows, another man reaps. But it's you, Lord, who give the growth, who give the glory. And really, we rejoice so long as the good is being done, so long as souls come closer to you, Lord. It doesn't matter who does it. How often San Jose Maria Escrivá would rejoice that other people were doing a wonderful and fruitful apostolate. And if people would come to him and complain about one group or another group, he would say, look, if someone has lit a candle for Christ, it's not for me to come and snuff it out. But let each wayfarer follow his own path. People have a different way of doing things. Oh, good on them. But for me, I'll do what I know in conscience God has revealed, has asked of me through discernment, through prayer. I've got my own way of doing things. And that's fine. If we are able to forget about ourselves and to focus on the good that has to be done, that's a clear sign of love for God. And that sacrifice that we make of our own interests, of our own likes, is shown in kindness. Sometimes, even in our service of you, Lord, we can grow tired. You know, a mum looking after kids gets tired. Someone working in a particular task in the service of others, but they grow tired, you know, and we can get scratchy when we're tired. And even in apostolic works, you know, we can find ourselves complaining, you know, why, oh, why? Couldn't they arrange, you know, it's like, I suppose, if you're a doctor and, you know, a patient comes in just when you're about to knock off. You say, couldn't you have arranged to get sick at, you know, a more convenient time? You know, you could have had that stab wound, of, you know, about an hour before, but it's about to knock off now. It's just... And we could complain. We complain. Poor me. Well, wouldn't it be exquisite charity just to pass unnoticed, not to say something? Let it slip. You know, what we're doing it, Lord, for you. We do it willingly, lovingly. We don't give ourselves importance. And that service is rewarded with a joyful humility. What perhaps would have led others to be bitter does not make us bitter. It's not that we're insensitive to slights or people not doing the right thing. Lord, you as the perfect man experience everything. You understand everything. You're well aware. When you're on the cross and people are insulting you in front of your mother, it's not that it meant nothing to you, but rather that you forgive, Lord. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't. Because you love us so much, you endure that willingly. Amazing. And yet for ourselves, out of love for you, Lord, we bear so little. We're prepared to tolerate so little. Just a small remark, and then we get all proud about it. And, you know, why did they say that? How could they have done that? Don't they realize what I have done? We're all like that, of course. You know, we would go to bed in a bad mood over some small slight. Because we're proud. We're proud. Lord, help us to be humble. And what can help us a lot is to have a good sense of humor. Because that's the fruit of interior peace, the fruit of dedication. If really all things work to the good for those who love you, Lord, and we are really seeking you above all things, then if we do well, if we do badly, it doesn't matter. If we can examine our conscience and say, look, I'm seeking you, Lord. I was trying to do the best. I don't have to justify myself to others. And when I fail, I can just laugh at myself and carry on. Because we know ourselves to be instruments in the hands of God. Like a paintbrush in the hands of a master painter. It's you, Lord, who do things. If anything, we just get in the way of your grace. How often we are so effective when we don't realize it. We ourselves are very moved by the example of those around us when they're simply going about their every day. You know, we go into a chapel and we see someone who is praying, but genuinely praying. We find that very moving. Now, the person who's there, they're just doing their prayer. They're not there saying, I wish everyone could see me, how pious I am. No, if they were doing that, they'd be showing off and then they'd turn people away. But someone is simply there, you know, with faith, doing their prayer and maybe even being a little bit distracted, but, you know, fighting to try to pay attention to that. To see that faith for others when they come, it's very moving. We realize ourselves, you know, when we see someone who truly believes, how much that spurs us on. I often think about Blessed John Paul II as a young child, getting up in the middle of the night for a glass of water or something like that, and then seeing, you know, his dad on his knees praying before the Virgin. You know, whether it be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Imagine that, you know, the impact that would have on you, seeing the faith of someone whom you know so well, you know, not because it had been planned, but just realizing, oof, you know, it has a massive impact. And so too for ourselves, you know, perhaps it's just the everyday things that we haven't even regarded that have really helped other people. You know, that visit we have made to you, Lord, in the Blessed Sacrament. all we did was go about our day and we showed our faith in you, Lord. But others, you know, they notice the little things. They realize that. They think about it. They ponder it. And if we're humble, we attract. In what seems so lowly, so menial, we move many souls. The problem is when we try to be the center of attention, when we try to stand out, you know, look at me. And we divert their attention from Christ. And then, well, you know, I mean, none of us is as good as we think we are. Really. There was once a fellow who used to be a cook who, you know, that San Jose Maria came across. And this fellow had a secret recipe. And whenever he made his secret recipe, he would, you know, kick everyone else out of the kitchen so he could make his secret recipe. And the reality was, it wasn't that crash hot. You know, but it was his. You know, it was just his thing. And look, if we're humble, we share what we have. We don't patent it, you know, for our own use. And then when we die, the secret goes with us. You know, we're seeking to do the good. The good, you know, if we have a special recipe, you know, it's not like we've got secret herbs and spices that do things. You know, no, we share it with others. We want them also to be able to learn. If anything, if we can make ourselves not indispensable, but on the contrary, able to be replaced, we've done a good job. And that's humility. Because it's not about it being my idea, it's about the truth. It's not about, you know, I doing this, but that the good be done. And then, you know, we're not there making comparisons, we're not there brooding. We're not there trying to build ourselves up by running others down. Instruments. And if we are truly working, Lord, in your service, if everything goes belly up, it doesn't matter. Of course we feel it. Of course we'd be worried about it. It's only human. But we know that it's not about me achieving my goals. It's about God having things as they should be, as he wants them to be. And you are so generous, Lord, it will turn out much better than I would have imagined. Many times it's about failing, precisely for the love of God. You know, God, it's God's will that I fail in this moment. So if we do things for the love of you, Lord, we never fail. The other day, I bumped into the cardinal. We were having a chat there, you know, outside the cathedral. And he told me he'd just been to a lunch or a dinner where the former prime minister had been, John Howard. And I remarked to the cardinal, well, you know, I'm impressed by the fact that John Howard had been prime minister for 10 years. It's pretty good going. And yet, prior to that, had done several stints as leader of the party and then, you know, been voted out. And someone else put in his, you know, in that place and preferred to him. You know, if you think if you've been a leader of something and then people say, look, you know, move on, you'd have to say, okay, well, I've done my dash, you know. But no, you know, he came back, and not just once, but several times. And then eventually he became prime minister, and when he was there for 10 years. You know, you think, well, for such a successful man to have had that setback, and not just once, but various times. And the same could be said of people who've been successful as entrepreneurs. You know, there are times when they have made a lot, and then they've been bankrupt, and then they've come back again. And the cardinal remarked, you know, well, sometimes, you know, in comparison to other politicians, what makes the difference is that ability to have coped with adversity. And then as an aside, he said, you know, and the same could also be said for life in the church as well. To have had to face up to adversity. If we're humble when we wipe out with what we put our energies and efforts into, and at times we do wipe out professionally, you know, we were so keen, we were so excited, we had a go, and then it was just disaster. Well, not necessarily disaster. It was probably pretty good, but it wasn't what we wanted it to be. And we get feedback. You know, look, yeah, okay, but, you know, you could have done this, and that other thing was out of place, and it really, I mean, you know, you could, you know, that was, that just doesn't go. And we're so depressed by it all. If we're proud, we'll just go slinking away, our tail between our legs, and say, oh, forget it, you know, I'm just going to go out, eat some worms, you know, nobody loves me. But really, if we're humble, we'll take that advice on board, even though we put all our effort into doing it as well as we could. Okay, you know, here's an angle I hadn't considered before. I'll begin again. I'll take this on board. I'll take that advice. I'll repackage myself. And then things go very well. And we do a great job taking that on board. Because we were humble. Because we sought the truth. Perhaps it's only when we realize that we are nothing that we can truly succeed. Because then we reach out to your Lord to ask. We pray. Up until that point, you know, we rely too much upon our human abilities. If we realize just how little we are, then we become powerful because we ask God, we rely on the saints, we pray, and that is what moves souls. Our problem is that because we're proud, we forget to pray. We become presumptuous. And afterwards, when we eventually fail, we fall into despair. Will I ever be able to do this again? Will I ever struggle effectively? Think of Peter and Judas. What a difference between them. Judas, a thief, deceives himself as well as the others, taking from that common purse. And having finally sold you, Lord, for 30 pieces of silver, comes to his senses and you know, tries to return the money, tries to undo what he has done. But some things, you know, we can't take back. Words that we have said, omissions. You know, what's done is done. No matter how much we want to undo it, it will be like that forever. And Judas despairs. How could I have fallen so low? How could I have committed this sin? How could I have... And really, you know, if we were humble, we realize, well, you know, why wouldn't I have done these things? It's a big call to be able to say that. I think someone talked once of a saint who was being asked questions, you know, did you... And they were asked him, you know, did you do all these horrible things? And the guy was sort of thinking, well... I could have. Were it not for God's grace, I really think I could have, you know. He felt that way because he was a saint. But Peter also denies you, Lord, three times, and it's pretty bad, you know. Do you know? I don't know the man. Don't know him. What are you talking about? And then, Lord, you look at him and he realizes and he's let you down. He really has. And he goes out and he cries and he weeps bitterly. But he's humble. For all his bravado and the things, he knows himself to be weak. And the amazing thing, Lord, is that, you know, when you pick him up, when you bring him back, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Take up this task that I have entrusted you with. Keep going with it. Continue on your way. You know, I haven't lost my confidence in you. And Peter continues doing so. And we ourselves, even though we have done badly, even though we have failed, we need to continue with that responsibility, with that task, because what matters is not so much that we've made a hash of it, but rather that the good be done. And if it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. But also, too, when we realize how small we are, we're not scandalized by the fact that other people also are small and that they fail too. Because there, but for the grace of God, go I. It's not that we condone those actions, but we're not read into the intentions of other souls because that's not given to us. We forgive, we excuse. And we're open to realizing that well, Look, you know, if we see that others have their defects, we need to try to live that aspect better ourselves in the very first place. That when we see that others have a speck in their eye, that we work hard on trying to remove the log from our own. And if we think that people are not welcoming, then we have to be welcoming. If we think people are not sufficiently pious, then we have to be pious. If we think, whatever it might be, that, you know, it's so easy to give ourselves over to complaining, then we have to make an added effort, an extra effort, to live that perspective. And then when people tell us that we need to improve in one way or another, we'll take that on board. Of course it hurts us. No, especially when we've tried so hard to improve in a particular area, and then they tell us, you've got to try harder. Well, I've already been giving everything, you know, well, harder. But when we're proud, and people tell us that we're proud, we refuse to believe it. Very hard. You know, a humble person is grateful for so much as a cup of water. A proud person, for a proud person, nothing is ever enough. And they feel humiliated when people are really just trying to help them. And that pride isolates them from everyone else. If there's a fault against charity, underneath it, there's a lack of humility. But we realize that for us, humility has to be the starting point, the foundation for our lives. Of course, spiritual divine filiation, you know, is the bedrock of our spiritual life. God is our Father, even if we're proud. Okay, God's our Father. But then, you know, with humility, we look towards that charity as our goal. We look towards that true dialogue with you, Lord. We you know, that dialogue with God as my Father. Receiving the love of God, my Father. Being open to your love, Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. That humility of John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. And that will show itself even in our own prayer. How hard we find it at times to listen to you, Lord, in our prayer. We're there babbling about our own things. If only we created that space with a little bit of humility to listen to you, Lord. How wonderful that would be. Realizing that love is never jealous nor arrogant. It doesn't insist on its own way. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. That should be our disposition as well. If we are humble. God has looked upon me in my humbleness, in my humility. And that's why, you know, my soul magnifies the Lord. That's why he's done these wondrous things for me, because he's looked upon my lowliness. We too will have that same confidence as Our Lady.
That was Living Faith with Father Richard Umbers. For more, go to cradio.org.au.